piranha are in the rivers of the Amazon. And during a full moon, they eat like crazy. You know, they just go crazy. And then nights when it's not full moon, you can actually go swimming and they hardly bother you at all. Now, I'm not sure if that's the way it is. It could be vice versa. You know, I don't know how a little fish's brain is all like, you know, but I would imagine it's really, like you take these loggers, man. You know, they used to cut down the forests a lot more than they do now. You know, this is touchy, you know, but if you're ever going to cut down some logs and you use a river to flow them down, make sure it's, I think, a hardly any moon, and then they go right down the center of the river. If it's a full moon, you try and send the log down a river, and we'll go off to the side and jam all the other logs. Fortunately, we hope that this isn't an ancient and extinct practice. You know what I mean? I mean, we need trees, wood, and everything like that. We want to go inside of our, fast food restaurants or even slow food restaurants or natural foods and grab a napkin or some chopsticks or something like that. You've got to have bamboo and some kind of fiber, probably hemp fiber. A lot easier to get paper out of hemp fiber than it is to grow a big tree and then cut it down just for the pulp. Well, folks, let's see. What I have in here, we have all sorts of things. Oh, that was that. Yeah, we had that. You know, we do have a phone number here for requests and or comments or any other thing. This is a community radio station. Don't have to feel scared. There are people listening, but they're listening. They're not going to get you. They're probably not going to trace you down or anything like that. Okay, let's listen. I'm thinking, what do we got? Track six here. Track three, which is, I think, a band called As One doing The Hideout. And see if you like it. See if you like it. If you want to hear, you know I play all sorts of kind of comedy and I play all sorts of tunes. And if there's anything you want to hear, please come on, man. Give me a call. Let me know you're out there, man. We're going to have to stop paying to do this, man. If people stop paying to do this and no one calls, we really are going to be emotionally unstable. All
Make love, not wart.
Sign.
Oh, freaky frog.
Bring it.
Walt Wart, the freaky frog, the freaky little frog of Walt Wart, got himself a car. Look at him go in his Wartmobile. Walt Wart, the freaky frog, always one jump ahead of the crowd. Far out, Walt Wart, the freaky frog. For your registration, Walt Wart, won't you come to our party? Walt Wart, won't you come to our party? One jump ahead of all of the rest. Walter Wart, we know you all got soul. Everyone's asking who's that swimming in the punch bowl. That's Walter Wart, the freaky frog. Walter Wart, the freaky frog. Walter was a natural born entertainer. What can frog talk mean? What kind of fool am I? With a masquerade party. And it got going good. Walter Wart met the mirror. Love is not blind. Love is nearsighted. She had a peaches and cream complexion. Wax and fuzzy. Walter Wart, the freaky frog. Cause he's one jump ahead of the crowd. Far out, Walter Wart, the freaky frog. She said, Walter Wart, I love you. And Walter Wart turned out to be a handsome prince. Wonderful Walter, the priceless prince.
I kissed him, I kissed him.
Yes, love can turn anyone into something better. And more important is, I'm no longer a lazy freaky frog. I'm now a kind, generous prince. I do have one problem.
Back to an old Jewish candy store. The old man is cleaning up the store. And mind it. I never saw this bottle before. This lady is a cockroach in that thing, though.
Well, that was not in the bottle.
Who are you? I am the genie. You come from this neighborhood.
No, old man, you've let me out of my glass prison that Sabu imprisoned me in.
Oh, wondrous old man, a wondrous wish and it's yours. Quickly, give me a wish, old man.
Now, I wish I had some income property.
It's yours. And the room filled up with 15 beautiful girls. Old man, another wish.
Now, I'd like to go to Atlantic City.
Go! Who'll take care of the store? I will.
You can take care of the store.
I'm the genie. I can do anything.
All right, I'll go. But don't give no credit to the Schwartzes. He goes. The genie takes wonderful care of the store. He brings in the milk and the rolls and the bananas and the guess what's and the Mary Janes and the whole thing. And the old people start to file in the morning. They look up. There's Saul.
He went to Atlantic City.
You're taking care of the store?
Yes.
You can take care of a candy store.
I'm the genie. I can do anything.
All right, make me a malted.
You're a malted.
That was the real Lenny Bruce doing the genie in the candy store. Last week I played a ancient George Carlin with George Burns working in there also, and that was an imitation of that skit that Lenny Bruce just did for real. And in the background, of course, was that that weird music that sounds so deep in there, you know. We also heard the Freaky Frog, Walter Wart, the Freaky Frog, which kind of got me onto this. You know, I've got some beatnik material here. I've got some real poetry here. I want you to know. I want someone to call in and let me know what they feel they're going to like to hear on this compilation. I mean, this magnificent compilation has lots of stuff from Lenny Bruce, lots of stuff in Mighty Bruce. It has a lot of Allen Ginsberg. If you want to know about Allen Ginsberg, I also have a lot of pre-recorded stuff from him. If you'd like to hear anything in particular, I'll play anything. I don't care how long the poem is. Some of the poems are quite long in here, but then there's Kenneth Reskroth, who was probably an early founder of the beat poetry scene back, I believe, before the 50s and the 40s and stuff. And probably one of my favorites, Lawrence Ferlinghetti, does a few things. It's very hard to find his stuff, and he's got three selections on this one. And I wish I had more. So if anybody out there has any pre-recorded Lawrence Ferlinghetti, bless his soul, and San Francisco, working hard to keep them beautiful blue eyes still going and seeing the world the way he does. And it's one thing seeing the world. Anyone can see the world the way it is, but man, to put it down into paper and then to read it in front of others, that's another thing. You know, the audio cranium here, yours truly, can hear a lot of beautiful things, and but a lot of times the things I see, which are not always so beautiful, I just, you know, I'm too fucking lazy to write them down, you know. To be honest with you, I'm just too damn lazy to do it, and I wish maybe it's some kind of mechanical problem in my brain that makes me that I can't do it. But I try really hard sometimes, and then I give up, you know. But there's also other things on here. Gregory Corso. Let's play some late Gregory Corso later on. He's a madman, man. He's a funny guy. And Peter Orlovsky, who was Allen Ginsberg's mate for quite a while. Well, you know what they, you know, those guys. They were happy, though, you know. That was really important. Then there's John Wieners. How do you do that? Ween. First one does the walk-ins, Wieners then. And Philip Lamanita does some stuff. Lou Welch, Moore Allen Ginsberg, Philip Whalen, Michael McClure, David Metzner. David Meltzer, and Kirby Doyle, and some more Michael McClure. We can play any one of those people that you want to hear, yeah, but you got to be energetic enough to pick up the phone and call me and let me know what you want to hear. You know, you can even put on your tape recorder, then you won't have to listen to the show. But you know, if you want to hear it, you're gonna have to say something. What's next here? I'm all confused. I'm confused, but I'm happily confused. Oh, let's see. Oh, yes. Let's go back to Beaverland. Let's go to Beaverland. It's... Dobie! It's Dobie Gillis. What do you mean? What do you mean Bob Denver was busted for pot in South Carolina? Gilligan? Maynard G. Krebs busted? Dobie. Huh. Less Bob. Wants the gal that's dreamy, Dobie. Wants the gal that's dreamy, Dobie. Wants the gal to call his own. Is she blonde? Is she tall? Is she dark? Is she small? Is she any kind of dreamer at all? Keeps hers and hers alone. Cause Dobie has to have a girl to call his own. You're listening to Radio Free Santa Cruz. I don't want to hear that one. Let's hear it a couple more. 96.3 in radio from Dale. Free radio Santa Cruz. Freak radio Santa Cruz.
sitting in his attic, Gloria. Cause I know it helped her feel better.
Heavens are such. This is not your weather report, because you know what the weather is. This is the astrological report. This is the report of the giant balls, the big balls out there in the universe, baby. In space, where everything's vacuum. And the distance of 25,000 light years might as well be as the length between you and me and a pea. And I mean a pea, like legume pea type thing. Alright. Okay, so maybe we'll just continue on. Hopefully there's something that'll be background music on this particular shot. That Alright, for Wednesday the 10th, the moon, I guess, starts out, the moon went void of course. Now that's a hard thing to try and tell you, because the moon void of course means between one particular area and another in physical reality. That means it's the effects of one constellation is pretty much in tug with the next one,
Anyway, the moon is the void of course between the houses of Sagittarius and Capricorn, which means the energies of Jupiter and Saturn. Okay, that's the area in which the moon is positioned. The Earth, of course, is in Gemini. If you were born on June 10th, then you are indeed Gemini. And then the Sun will be in Gemini all of this week and all of next week, and then on Sunday, Father's Day, the summer solstice, the Sun will enter into Cancer, which produces the largest, longest day of the year, because we are getting more sun than any other day of the year. Do you get my point here? Well, anyway, the moon is in Capricorn. It will be in Capricorn, it's not in Capricorn until 5:50. It's been void of course all day. It makes it a kind of a goofy day. You don't want to sign any contracts. You don't want to sign your name or nothing. Not even a ticket. Some officer pulls you over, you say, "Hey, officer, the moon's void of course and I can't sign that ticket." Oh, there's somebody on this one. Hold on. I wonder who that is. That's my specialty. Whoever that was. Okay. When the moon goes into Capricorn this afternoon, we'll get to that later let's go to what it's going to be like for the next two days actually, until Friday, about 6:03 p.m. The moon will go void of course again before it gets into the next sign, which is Aquarius. But while the moon is under the influence of Capricorn, we can expect to find these kind vibrations. This is being quoted from Jim Maynard. He has been, for as far as I remember, putting out an astrological report every year. Very accurate man. While the moon is in Capricorn, the vibrations of Saturn are emphasized. This brings contraction following Jupiter's extensive influence in Sagittarius. It's a time of material ambition and work and duty. Spiritual and intellectual interests fall away. The search for status and financial security. People might become a little insensitive and even unsympathetic or cruel. But from selfish necessity rather than animosity. In other words, I'm sad. I'm counting my nickels up to the end of the month, at the end of the week. You feel these vibrations more while the moon is in these signs. If you take a day, maybe sometimes 2.5 days, as much as 4 days, the moon to get through a sign, depending on whether it's itself. And it goes on further to say that Saturn influence on Capricorn causes pessimism, negative outlooks to creep in. You don't want to go tripping, man. You have to see these things, unless you... Yeah. They say all those computer people did some tripping on. Anyway, all those successful ones had experienced. They were turned on. Jimi Hendrix had them too. While the moon is in Capricorn, energy is generally sluggish. It is a time to diligently apply ourselves to tasks while giving solely in the present. None of this future shit, none living in the past. I gotta find something to eat today, you know? I gotta pay this today. I gotta pay the phone bill. I gotta pay the rent here at the radio station. Capricorn rules the knees, teeth, bones, and skin. So, right now, I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if you're driving a car. Pull over and start massaging your knees, just like this, man. Pull over and massage your knees. Well, wait a minute, you can't do it for 50 more minutes, because it's still going, of course. Okay. Well, it does come 5:50 this afternoon. Get over and start massaging your knees, brush your teeth, and generally do something nice to your skin, you know? Don't have to worry about sending it out to get tan, do you? Well, actually, you can still get radiation burns underneath the sun on a cloudy day. Okay, now today is not only the moon in Capricorn, but there are also three aspects, two which I can highlight on as to their effects and how it was for you today. And the first one happened at the very same time when the moon went out of the house of Sagittarius and void of course. And that is the moon went square of Jupiter at 8 minutes after 10 this morning. So if you had a rough day, this is the day to have it, because everyone else is having it too. These feelings that you're feeling are probably not that different. And let me see, before we go any further with this astrological report, I'm going to have to get on and tell you what we just listened to, because that was Karma doing The Specialist. And let me see if I can look it up and find out who that guy was talking. Meanwhile, you'll be listening to the next selection, and we'll go into more of some astrological things. This is Tongue doing Notion. Okay? Now, hold on, I'll be right back. Realize I could probably do a whole show on this kind of format, you know? Here's another new show. The Astrological Report. And play all these funky, you know, wonderful things to kind of help go along with the particular aspect that you're trying to describe. This is the kind of rhythm that would probably be not subject to the next aspect that we're going to hear. Still with me there? Okay. Now that we've got to a pretty much a crescendo. The moon being square of Jupiter at 10:08 this morning goes as follows. It's not an easy sign. Jupiter is a great planet, but if it's not in sync with, if it's square, that means that the position of the moon is like at least four signs away, 430 degree angles away from the planet it represents. And that's not a great position. Your oppositions are hard, your squares are difficult, triangles are easy, and the sextiles are high. Okay, well, there's both this. If the moon is square or opposite, that means if the moon is the opposite angle of the sky that Jupiter's on, and Earth being right in the middle, although soon you can see an obstruction, you can see an eclipse there, it will go as such. Financial judgment is not good. Financial judgment is not good. Tendencies to extravagance, foolish generosity, and laziness. Overeating is likely. And spiritual doubts may arise. Well, now you put that together with the moon being in Capricorn, and we've got a real, what is it? Dichotomy there. We've got a dichotomy of feelings. I mean, you want to spend money, and you can't, because, you know, hey, I want to spend on this, but I can't. I feel so torn apart by it, you know? Oh, it looks like the sun's coming out now. All right. There's a couple other aspects. You see, every day there's different aspects. Sometimes there's no aspects, and then, you know, the moon is in one place. And that means it's a very simple day, very straightforward. But today is, I'd give this day, there used to be this guy in Boston, known, many people probably remember the Cosmic Muffin on WBCN. Daryl Martini was his real name, and every morning in WBCN he'd do an astrological report, and he'd tell you what kind of day it was, judge, you know, like it was 1 out of 10, you know, like if it was a day in 1, you'd stay in bed, 10, you know, fly over to Haven or something like that, one or another. And it kind of stuck with me, you know, 20 years later. But the next two signs are pretty neat. Mars being trine of Uranus, and that means with a little bit of application, Mars, which is the go-getter, a very forceful planet, which symbolizes the male symbol in symbols. I mean, the planet Mars is also the same as the male. If you go to the bathroom, it's got a circle with a cross below it. That means Mars, and oh no, excuse me. Mars is the one with the circle and the little arrow pointing to the right, you know. That, anyway, Mars is trine with Uranus, and Uranus is kind of into its own thing. So if you're into getting beaten by an elephant with a jockey strap on, most likely this is a good day to find a cheap elephant, because you can't be extravagant while the moon and Saturn. And then you're probably going to feel bad that you did it later on anyway. Okay, and then another deal with Saturn. The moon is also only three signs away from the house of Saturn. And Saturn is in the planet of, must be Taurus, because the moon's in Capricorn. And that don't make sense. But let's hear and see what it says here about Saturn being up trine. When the moon is trine to Saturn, benefits come through willing acceptance of duty. There can be gains from by keeping things practical and orderly. Physical comforts seem of little importance. This is a good time to go out and do some exercise. This is a good time to go out and do something you've been putting off for a while. This is a time that you should maybe take a bicycle ride and do maybe some laundry or cleaning up the house or something like that. Duty to yourself and your environment. And you will feel right, you do these things, and it will hardly feel like you're doing it at all, because guess what? Those planets out there are big enough to influence your brain. You know, and influence not particularly your brain, I mean, it doesn't go inside, but the juices inside your brain. They've been cooking for millions of years. It's an astute that's been on for millions of years, pal. And these planets are the sedimentary exact ingredients in their position. Have a lot to do with how things get done, from what I hear. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in Jesus, and I believe in the Lord, and I believe in Muhammad and Buddha and all the rest. But while my feet are on the ground, that's the first one I want to take care of, Mother Earth. And a lot of people don't see it that way because it's not financially good. In recent news today, I had mentioned it before when we played the theme song to Dobie Gillis. Maybe I can find Gilligan's Island here someplace. Let's see. Gilligan. It's the old, not around until you want it. And when you want it, it's not around. Yeah, we'll get back to that later on. Hope you can hear me here. Maybe we'll find Gilligan. Maybe we won't. But Gilligan, actor, has been arrested on pot charges, the Associated Press, a couple days ago, out of Princeton, West Virginia. Bob Denver, who played the title character on Gilligan's Island, was arrested Thursday after a package of marijuana was delivered to his home. Now, I mean, I ask you, this guy was stuck on an island for, how, you know, 50 years or something like that, and, you know, old habits, you know, obviously there was this thing going around, and Gilligan went to the skipper and said, Skipper, what's this? Oh, buddy, that's an evil weed, you know?
But anyway, the article goes on and says Denver was charged with marijuana possession and released on $1,000 bond. That's a lot of clams when you don't have a show out and you're not making any more new money. I mean, you know, $1,000, that's a grand is not a fun thing to give up. Anyway, he appeared briefly in court for arraignment. West Virginia authorities were notified earlier this week by Pueblo, Colorado police that a package containing marijuana was sent there by a delivery service and addressed to Denver at his Princeton home, said Lieutenant Bruce McNeil. Now, isn't that nice? I'm glad to know that the Colorado police are searching the federal mail or somehow getting knowledge of the federal mail and contacting and entrapping people for sending a medicinal and, might I add, very useful flowering plant. After an officer delivered the package Wednesday night, a drug task force executed a search warrant inside Denver's home. Police found about 10 grams of marijuana, the drug paraphernalia, and drug paraphernalia. Yeah, maybe some pipes or papers or something like that. So, here you go. They get the warrant already because someone... Okay, in all, police recovered about an ounce and a half of marijuana from the package. That's about your average stash. You know, I mean, if you're somebody like Gilligan, who lived on an island for all this time. And before he did that, he was, of course, Maynard G. Krebs, and as everyone knows, all those beatniks smoked rope back then. In all, police recovered about an ounce and a half of marijuana from the package. Yes. He was very apologetic over the incident and remorseful, McNeil said. Yeah, I'm sure he was upset he got busted, lost $1,000. I'm very sorry. Denver, who is 63 now, going in 63 years old, could face up to 6 months in jail. You know, I don't care. Just don't send me back to that freaking island, man. Yeah, he could spend about 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine on a misdemeanor. How about that? Just for having some pot. I mean, it's his own business. I mean, he's had never seen the outside of day, just the people who sent it to him in his house. Okay, here's a John Urkel, deputy chief police in Pueblo, wouldn't say Thursday how investigators there knew what was inside the package. Well, how about that? They didn't know. What if they just sent it to him? Maybe Gilligan doesn't smoke pot at all. Maybe someone set up some pot in his house. Then the policeman just sent it, and then of course he opened it up and said, well, what we got here, you know? Another story that's briefly related to this is the one where Patty Hearst was sent a package and it had a bomb in it, and she called the police and they still tried to arrest her anyway for something. What's going on here, you know?
You think that final hour is coming, copper? You think you're going to bust the Constitution to think your value judgments are more important than ours? You're wrong. You can't do that. And if you try, you'll get lots of resistance, one way or another.
That's my philosophy. Anyway, a man answered the phone Thursday at Denver's home, said that Denver had no comment. Gilligan was silent. They put a gag on Gilligan, pretty much. Denver moved to West Virginia with his wife, Drema, 7 years ago, and they settled in her hometown of Princeton. Denver started Gilligan's Island from 1964 to 67. He played a beatnik best friend, Maynard G. Krebs, on The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis, which ran from 1959 to 1963. Well, I mean, that's really sad to hear that Bob Denver's having these problems. And if anyway this goes out to, you know, Bob Denver gets to hear this, believe me, everybody here at Radio Free, Freak Radio Free Santa Cruz, are truly apologetic in your situation, and I'm sure half the people in the nation are upset that when you get your mail, someone is there waiting at your door to pound in to get it and charge you $1,000.
window, I see a glimpse of burros, a Pepsi-Cola stand, an old Indian sitting, smiling toothless by a hut. 2. Stopping at Guaymas, a brand new Ford pickup, filled with melancholy laborers. In the driver's seat, a young child, doomed by his sombrero. 3. Windmill, silver wooded, slatless, motionless in Mexico. Bird-like, incongruous windmill, like a broken crane. One-legged, stiff, arbitrary, with wide, watchful eye. How did you happen here, all alone, alien, helpless, here where there is no wind? Living God's structure resigned, are you pleased with this dry, windless monkage? Softer, the cactus outlives you. 4. I tell you, Mexico, I think miles and miles of dead, full-bodied horses, thoroughbreds and workhorses, flat on their sides, stiffened with straight legs and lipless mouths. It is the stiff leg, Mexico, the jutted tooth that wrecks my equestrian dreams of nightmare. 5. In the Mexican zoo, they have ordinary American cows. Puma in Chapultepec Zoo. Long, smooth, slow, swift, soft cat. What score? Whose choreography did you dance to when they pulled the final curtain down? Can such ponderous grace remain here, all alone, on this 9x10 stage? Will they give you another chance, perhaps to dance the Sierras? How sad you seem. Looking at you, I think of Ulanova, locked in some small furnished room in New York in the Puerto Rican section.
Well, a lot of people can play Allen Ginsberg. A lot of people can play Billy Burroughs because he's very popular. And a lot of people can play Jack Kerouac because there are beautiful cats. But that cat was one of their buddies too. That was Gregory Corso doing Mexican Impressions. And if you like that, let me know and we'll bring that back again. There's a lot of, eight cuts of his work, and sure would like to see how you like it, because I like it. It's really nice stuff. You're listening to the Audio Cranium, and this show runs between 3 and 6 on Wednesdays when you're probably out at the market, especially when the sun breaking loose like this. It's good to hear. I'm going to play some more Laura Nyro. In fact, I'm not even going to look to see what song I'm playing. But before I play Laura Nyro, one of their first songs, I'll remind you that today is also a good day to stay to a diet, not to eat much, because Saturn's out there watching you, you know. Saturn's watching you eat, you know. So yeah, stick to your diet and probably exercise. You'll feel better. If you're going to go out and eat a pint of Haagen-Dazs, like I do sometimes, especially that Haagen-Dazs is on sale this week at one major supermarket, you'll probably have that, you know, urge to drink that soothing vanilla taste. But believe me, once you buy it, you'll realize you couldn't afford it anyway, and now you've got to eat it all. And the package will scream, "Eat me! Eat me! I am nothing but cream and sugar and vroom," which you're happy for, because at least it's not some kind of weird filling stuff, you know, that you don't know about. I wouldn't mind if it was hemp. They had ground up hemp and put it in with vanilla and tofu, you know, that would be a tasty ice cream. I'd like that ice cream. Vanilla hemp flavored ice cream, yeah. That would be nice. But anyway, you can't really, it's not a good day to do that. It's a good thing to get those things that you need to be done, you know, and, you know, once you do that, the sun might come out a little bit. You know what will happen is that the skies will clear up this evening, and it will be nice and cool, you know, keep the mosquitoes down, hopefully. Anyway, Gregory Carson, that last recorded thing, and maybe we'll play some of him later on. Let's go with some Laura Nyro. Okay, Laura Nyro. Once again, it's Laura Nyro coming up.
Yeah.